Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas. Getting you ready for some Cavaliers basketball. The Wine and Gold wrapping up the season. As a matter of fact, only four games remain in the 2018-19 season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. In just a few, if you would like tickets to the regular season finale next Tuesday between the Cavaliers and the Charlotte Hornets, well, you're in luck thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads when we wrap up our conversation here in just a few with Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. We'll give you the cue to call. Jim, a pleasure as always to have you on the show, my friend.
But Andy, I just want to tell you, you know, the job that you do, I honestly look forward, you know, to talking to you because I know you do your homework and you legitimately listen to us. And that makes me want to do a better job for you. Hopefully next season, you know, we can even do a better job. Maybe sometime around draft time, you call me back and, I'd be glad to talk to you about the draft and whatever.
Absolutely. We're certainly looking forward to that. We will most definitely take you up on that. And, boy, speaking of the draft, Jim, that kind of leads us right into our first question here. You know, there were definitely draft implications with the game on Monday against the Suns, and it was certainly one of those games a lot of folks looked at as a winnable one for the Cavaliers. And while they fell behind early, they rallied in that third quarter, outscoring the Suns by 12, and they were eventually able to close the deficit to 5 at one point in the fourth quarter. Jim, what was it specifically that was working for the Cavaliers in the second half that maybe wasn't there in the first?
Well, Andy, I think it's simple. You know, basketball is not complicated like sometimes football can be. But intensity is important, energy, all those intangibles that makes a guy more aware, more acutely aware of what he has to do and the willingness to compete. I just thought we had a lounge chair mentality in the first half. There's no way a team on that level should score 70 points against us in the first half. I don't care how tired our legs were, if they were, but it just goes to show you how well played in the second half that we didn't come out ready to play. And we haven't had many of those miscues, but we've had a few. And I was very disappointed in our play in the first half. I just thought that here's a chance, here's a measurable. A team that's in the same situation that you're in as far as personnel and draft possibilities, and you don't come out and play well. You know, so I think that says a lot for them in the second half. I don't know what happened in the first half, but in the second half, we're a totally different team.
One of the interesting things about Monday's matchup was that so much attention recently has been paid to Devin Booker for all the right reasons. I mean, his previous three games going into Monday, he had scored 49 points or more. That's just remarkable. Now, he still had 25 against the Cavaliers on Monday, but that's a far cry from where he was the previous three games. Was there anything specifically that stood out to you that the Cavaliers were doing defensively to kind of contain him?
No, they didn't do anything really. Every once in a while, they would double-team him coming off that high dribble screen. But most of the time, Devin was just looking for space. Early in the clock, he was shooting 35-foot three-pointers. But the thing that he did is he got his teammates involved. You know, they have a lot of injuries, very similar to us in that respect. And he just started creating situations where he could be a playmaker for his teammates. You know, he had a lot of assists that particular game. He didn't shoot a good field goal percentage. But down the stretch, when we made our run, he made all the big baskets. I just think this kid is so versatile. I don't know if he's a point guard, but he's a heck of a player. And I think that's where teams are going now. It's kind of hard to find a traditional point guard, a guy who thinks pass first or setting up, organizing your offense, because there's so many points being scored. The point guard almost has to be a scorer first. And really, when you're a scoring threat first, it makes it easier to make the pass if you're conscious of it. And this kid is he's an in-betweener. He's about 6'6", 210, strong as heck, quick as any smaller player. But he showed me something the other night that he could make plays for his teammates, not only just score huge points. And I think this is where the league is going, and this kid may be at the top of that. I think Sexton is in the same mode. You know, he's a scorer first. He can make plays for his teammates, but these kids like to score. There's been a few of them. I mean, look at Westbrook. Westbrook had to make the adjustment. Look at Harden. You know, they didn't come in as guards or playmaking for the teammates. They came in as big-time scorers, looking to score points. And in the meantime, they've developed into pretty good passers also.
And to your point, he had 13 assists in that victory, and I think the most important thing there is that the Suns came out on top. And I want to stick with that topic for just a second here because, you know, combo guard is the phrase I commonly hear associated with the kinds of players you just mentioned. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at here as far as Colin Sexton goes. And he's one of those players I know we've talked a lot about since the start of the season. And I think in due time, the assists will definitely come. And I believe that's kind of what you were getting at, looking at what Devin Booker has done since he was drafted back in 2015. You know, sometimes the distribution doesn't come right away, especially with these combo guards, as they've been referred to in the past. And I think that's one of the things that I feel like the Cavaliers have been trying to preach to the fan base since the start of the year. You know, a score-first mentality is certainly something I think we'll see a lot more of with the guards, but the assists are going to come in due time, right?
Yeah, they will. He just needs more experience, and it's a huge adjustment. He's probably been looking to score first since elementary school, so that's his comfort level. Another player that you could throw in there would be Curry. You know, you could throw Curry in there, too. Curry was a big-time scorer in high school and college, and he had to learn how to be a point guard. And not necessarily even a traditional point, just be able to pull back and get your teammates involved, spread the ball around, get them involved so they become relevant and it'll make your scoring easier. Colin Sexton, to his credit, has taken a lot of criticism because most of the people criticizing him were people who had the old profile of what a point guard is. And if you live and die with that, you're going to find everything that this kid does wrong and not the things that he does well. He does a few things exceptionally well. One thing in particular is that he's awfully fast, and we allow him to push the ball up the floor. If he can get to the rim or an open three, you know, Drew has said, go ahead and take it. But when he doesn't, now he's developed the mentality, pull it back, give the ball up, move without it, get us involved in something. What it does, it makes you a dual threat, the threat of transition and also the threat of your half-court set. So he's become valuable in that respect. The other thing about Colin is that he has the unique ability, and we take it for granted because we see so many of the great guards do it. He can get to the paint. He can beat you off the dribble. He can beat zones off the dribble, get into the paint. He's developed a floater when he can't go all the way, but he's vastly improved as far as finishing at the rim. And his three-point shooting since the All-Star game is just out of this world. I mean, this kid has made some tremendous adjustments. Another thing about Colin is that he can play. I mean, no one works harder. It's almost sad to say, but you like to hear it. Nobody works harder on our team during the game in practices than Colin Sexton. Yes. I mean, the guy's a rookie, 19 years old. The kid works harder than anyone. He'll stay after. He comes to the games early. He's shooting, getting up a sweat, and then he works his butt off. Now, he'll make mistakes because he's young and he has inexperience, but he can get better. And as long as he keeps that mentality, like a Westbrook, like a Curry, you know, there's no telling how good this kid can be because physically he's unbelievably strong and he has a lot of skill set.
Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Jim, I'm going to throw a double-barreled question at you here as we're heading towards the end of the season here. So if you were to pick out one player that's made the biggest impact throughout the course of the year, who would that be? And also, if you were to pick out one player who has improved the most from the start of the season, who would that player be?
Well, I think the most improved player has got to be, most improved, I think it's a tie, and I'm not trying to bail out. I honestly think, because I respect this play so much, is Young Nance and Sexton. They are the most improved, and you could take your pick depending on what you like. But both of those have really gotten better, and they're the core of where we want to go. But I think the MVP easily has got to go to Clarkson. You know, here's a guy that comes off the bench no matter what the lineups. And we lead the league in lineup changes, no matter what the time and score. We used to put him in the second quarter. Now he comes in about midway into the first because we need a scorer. But no matter if he's playing against starters or second-tier players, the guy gets the job done. He scores points inside, outside, pressure shots. And he is the guy. He is the one that when teams look at their strategic plan, they have to plan for him first.
which is interesting because he comes off the bench. And do you feel like sometimes that makes it tougher for opposing teams to game plan against the Cavaliers?
I think it does because, you know, you usually want to get your defensive strategies and foundation down, you know, from the beginning of the game and build momentum. But it's kind of hard to do. You know, you're steady looking down the bench trying to figure out when they're going to put this guy in so you can work some of your double teams and in the paint help. And sometimes you just can't do that with him because when we put him in, most teams have substituted. And then we put him in early in the third, and he's playing against starters, and he's killing your starters. You know, he's killing supposed to be your best defensive and offensive unit. So he's been a pleasure to watch. I like the way he goes about his work. He doesn't say much, but he just gets the job done.
Well, Jim, this next question's a little bit loaded, and I think there are certainly a number of ways we could attack this. But, you know, with the record being what it is, certainly there are some areas that need to be addressed in the offseason. I know Kobe Altman and company certainly are already hard after that. But which areas do you think need the most attention in the offseason?
Well, let's start with the intangibles. The intangibles is they got to continue to get guys who have energy, guys who play hard. And that is a talent, and you have to find those kids. They may not have the skill set that you're looking for, but they may have the potential to develop a skill set. But you need to get guys who are physical, guys who can play hard every night from an athletic perspective. You can teach them the rest. But we have to increase our physicality, and that includes from the guard position and even from our forwards and front line. We have to become more physical. You know, we have to have more of a physical presence. That's the intangible. The other thing is that I think, you know, you want to go out and you're trying to get that 6'7", 6'8 kid similar to Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And there may be a chance for that with all the young players I've seen in the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of those kids roaming around who are super athletic, awfully young, though, super athletic, but can get the job done from a skill set and from an athletic perspective. You really need that guy. You know, he's the kind of guy to define him who come down the floor. He can start your offense, but he can also create for himself, and he can defend, and he can get to the paint. He can catch and shoot. Now, those kids, you know, we're in a situation where there's a good possibility that we can get that kind of kid, you know, and it doesn't make any difference, as far as his weight and his in his youth, because this is a young team. Our core is pretty young, and he's going to grow in with them. The other thing is we have to get a couple of bench players because I don't know. I would assume that we're going to lose some players, you know, guys that haven't played much this season or whatever. But I just think we're not that far away from being a 500 team. I really believe that. It just takes a little more patience, and we really have to do a good job in this year's draft to recognize talent. And Kobe Altman and his staff have done a fantastic job. They really have. If I had to grade them, I'd get them an A-minus because nobody's perfect. Because based on where we were when the season started, the unknowns, and then all the injuries, something that you can never count on, I thought for the most part this team remained competitive. We were able to develop our young talent. They're building confidence and all of that stuff. The other thing I think is key is leadership. You know, we have to have someone who's a leader. But you can only be a leader if the players respect your performance. So we need to get that kind of kid in our group, or maybe one of the younger guys will keep developing and gain the respect where they can say something and the players will respect what they say. And that remains to be seen right now. But you have to have leadership. And it can't be the coach. Your leader can't be the coach, Coach Stevens up in Boston. you know, he's finding that out. You know, the leadership has to come on the floor.
No doubt about that. Certainly going to be very interesting to see what the Cavaliers do in the offseason, which is rapidly approaching. Jim, thank you again so much for the time. You know, we mentioned earlier in the interview, this is our last one of the 2018-19 season, but win, lose, or draw, you've always been kind enough to join us every single week, and we certainly appreciate that, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Again, that's Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Okay, well, this is the final opportunity for all of you to get your hands on a pair of Cavaliers tickets. Thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away two tickets to Fan Appreciation Night So this is a big one, because if you want some more Cavalier stuff, they give away a lot of it on Fan Appreciation Night. 440-322-0930. That's the number to call. We'll take the first caller if you want two tickets to see the Cavaliers take on the Charlotte Hornets this coming Tuesday, the last game of the season for the Cavaliers. Be the first to call. 440-322-0930. If you're the first to call, you'll win two tickets to see the Cavs and Hornets next Tuesday on Fan Appreciation Night down at Quicken Loans Arena. Let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll come back with more after this on AM 930 WEOL.